Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a long-awaited reunited episode of Mike and I and the Sneaker History Podcast. How you doing, man? How's life?
I'm good, man. You know, just life is lifing. Can't complain. How about you, bud? I mean, you have some great things happen.
Life is good, but I enjoy the, like, front-to-back stacking you have of your Jordans behind your head. Some people don't like stacking shoes that way, and I think it's more economical. I do my stuff front and back. I do some of them on top of each other. Listeners, if you're hearing us, how do you stack your shoes to optimize space?
I had to get rid of boxes, man. I was looking like I lived in a stock room, so I was like, you know what? We got to make this look a little bit cleaner and like shore up some space, man.
Definitely smart. It looks better than the piles. And as we segue into rocking and copping, I'm happy you said that about getting rid of boxes, because if it's an important pair of shoe, just put the box somewhere. You're not going to see. Don't get rid of it. But yep. I watch a lot of like video game content, and it's hilarious to me seeing people keep and display like their PS2 and PS3 boxes. Those boxes are big and stupid and deteriorating. Like no one gives a crap about your PS5 box.
So I just threw away my Xbox box, funny enough. It was in my closet for some reason. I'm like, why is this? Dude, the box is like that big, that wide. I'm like, you know what? Please get out of my face.
You had a justification at some point when you rocked it, and once you copped it, you know, that never went away. So exactly. Actually, show us. So you and I are both kind of Adidas-centric today with our rocking and copping. So you want to start us off?
Yeah, man. So my rocking is going to be the Adidas T-Mac 1 LeBron James St. Vincent St. Mary PE. I guess unofficial official, because they can't, you know, LeBron can't co-sign it, but it had his number. And the Fighting Irish Shamrocks in here. Okay. Super cool shoe. It was one I broke out that's been kind of hanging around. And it's funny, you know, people don't like to wear basketball shoes, but when you break out things like that, they have a lot of questions. So I love that.
The nostalgia berries get hit, or the member berries.
Exactly. They're like, ooh, I remember seeing pictures of that, or, you know, whatever it may be. But my copping is one that I got. I always love getting gift card buys, and that was this one, the AE1 Year to Snake. It was I saw it in person a couple months back. I was just like, man, I want to go back to it because it looks super nice. And just so happened a gift card fell my way, and it just made sense. So this is one of my my coppins. And then still just very Adidas heavy, because with the U.S. Open going on, I really want to get a pair of the Y3 Adidas Ubersonic. It's the sneaker that the athletes are wearing on court now, and I love the Y3 brush strokes and the was Yoji Yamamoto's signature across the side. It's just super dope to me.
See, I think it might be just the lighting. Those AE1 lows you have, I think those are like the most recent colorway, right?
So these,
like a metallic-y looking blue one, I love. Like,
this is crazy. So this one came out in China, or I think Asia as a whole in early 2025. We got them sporadically a couple months back, and now they're kind of just, you know, they pop up in random places. Like, I got these from Foot Locker, there's a few sizes sitting. But yeah, super, it's like pearlescent.
Yeah, so there's that pearlescent one you're holding. There's like a Timberwolves color blue. Mm-hmm. Then there's like a different Timberwolves color blue. But then there's like a pearly, wavy looking blue that I saw. Oh, it's the Clot ones.
With the flame on it. Yeah, those are sick.
Those, like, the AE1's going to continue living on solely based off of just design. And that's a stupid thing to say, but just it looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool though.
So, I think if they want to keep producing it, they could. I mean, just team bank or whatever they want to do.
Well, because that's going to be a big part of our... He's going to be a big part of our episode. I think when he got to China last week, he said, like, ni hao, what's up? Or something like that. And it was like one of the funniest things. I love him.
I didn't see that.
So, in my rocking and copping, I've been rocking the Adidas Superstar.
Classic.
I was telling Mike before we started recording, I bought these from the Adidas employee store many moons ago, and I saw the Kith black ones come out this past week. Kith Superstar, Ronnie Feig, and I almost bought them, but I was like $180 for the black pair when I have the white pair here, not unused, but barely worn. So I've been wearing the Superstars the past week, and just a reminder to definitely buy what you like, get whatever makes you happy, but you might have a pair of sneakers in a different colorway that's about to come
it's just
out.
As good. Just
look in your closet. You might be able to make yourself happy. Yep. And then for rockin', well, those are rockin'. For coppin', I have like an outdoor and an indoor situation. So for the outdoor, Adidas just debuted the it's a Terex shoe. It's a Sky Chaser AX5. That's a mouthful. But the Terex line is like their outdoor rugged bootleg sneaker boot sneaker designed for outdoor use. A new colorway kind of came out. They did a whole release in LA. Came out really nice. But I really want a pair because my old On running boots are kind of like dying out a little bit. So these are a good like transition. Definitely. I believe they're waterproof, but just the technology's there, the look's there. I want a sneaker boot when I'm outside. I don't want like a traditional boot. It has a light motion EVA midsole. Just it's fire. It is waterproof. It's Gore-Tex. So yeah. Gore-Tex membrane up above the top. There's a gray colorway that just debuted, but the black is pretty fire. So look out for those, the AX5. And then one of my favorite people, two of my favorite people, there's a conjunction here. So you have the Adidas Originals Abdul-Jabbar Bruce Lees coming out. So Bruce Lee obviously needs very little introduction, much like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar needs very little introduction. But NCAA's probably greatest men's basketball player of all time. Bruce Lee, probably the greatest action martial artist in film history, impactful in so many ways, designed his own fighting styles. But he actually had Kareem in one of his movies. It was called, I believe it was the last movie he did. They didn't finish it. Game of Death, where Kareem was on like one of the levels. Bruce Lee had to like fight up the levels to get to the top. And, Kareem was one of his opponents. And he was actually trained under Bruce Lee for like 4 years. So like the connection there is super cool. It's a really simple Abdul-Jabbar, which is within itself awesome. It's the first Adidas signature basketball shoe ever. So that's awesome. But it just has a really simple Bruce Lee looking icon on the back heel. The black and yellow color scheme never goes out of style. It's always recognizable. You might think Bruce Lee. You might think Beatrix Kiddo. There's a couple ways you can go about it. But it has Kareem Skyhook logo in gold foil. Mm-hmm. Bruce Lee's kick logo on the heel. Bruce Lee's signature on the lateral heel. And custom insole artwork featuring stylized imagery of Kareem and Bruce. So
I love the insoles. I saw a picture of them.
They're sick. There's a t-shirt you can get too if you want to complete the Foot Locker look. That's a joke. But, a fire collab for $110 is not bad. They're releasing at Shoe Palace and Extra Butter on August 30th. And they'll hit boutique and partner cities September 13th. So be on the lookout for that. There's a pop-up happening. You're probably not going to get the chance to get to that with Shoe Palace by the time this episode airs. But if you're in the Los Angeles area and next to that Shoe Palace flagship store, you can have a fun little episode of a day with Kareem and Bruce Lee. But Rowit, what's up, man?
Speaking of pop-ups, thanks for accommodating me. How are you guys doing today?
We were just talking about Bruce Lee and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I love that shoe.
You and your daughter there, she is the Bruce Lee and you are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Perfect size ratio in there.
What have you guys been rocking? Have you guys been wearing any fun shoes?
We have actually bought somebody their first set of cleats. So they're hot pink with black studs. And we're going to begin our journey, ironically, on her 4th birthday. So that's our version of breaking 4, so to speak. But other than that, we're just trying to survive this hot, hot heat in Portland.
Nice, man.
That's the cop. What have you worn to work recently?
What have I worn to work? I actually put on my pair of the J Balvin 3s, the cream version. And there was a van drop today. Unfortunately, I was unsuccessful because I wanted to complete the set, so to speak, as it comes to J Balvin 3s, because I think that black pair is just as striking, if not more so. But alas, that's another challenge that must be met on another day.
Those black ones are absolutely gorgeous.
It's a great shoe.
I wanted to buy a pair, but then I realized I still haven't worn my like 2024 black cements or whatever they came out. Still completely unworn. So today was not the day. But, Mike, you posted an interesting question on your Instagram. That's what brought about some of this episode. You were saying that AE2, what was that question you asked? I'll let you ask it.
So it was more just a preference of mine. Like, we're comparing two shoes that are very, they've gotten the sneaker world engaged again when it comes to performance basketball, wearing them off court. You know, that's a thing now. Again, I should say. But the Ja 3 and comparing it to the AE2. And my thought was, I mean, I like both shoes, but just the AE2 just edges out the Ja 3 for me. I like the design. It gives me really sports car vibes to it. And seems like a lot of people actually, when I posed a question on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people actually felt the same way, which I was kind of surprised, honestly.
I too was surprised, because I think when we saw the initial photos of the AE2, I would say the crowd went mild instead of wild, but it's definitely grown on us. And that Ja 3 pair is really striking in hand, and that's the second time I've said that, so I'll try not to use it again. But if I do, you can take a shot, listener. It's just a little too much, but the Bulldog grip or the traction pad is serious. That's a sight to behold. So if there is nothing else, you should definitely check under the hood, so to speak, because that is probably as wild and as crazy of a concept as I've seen recently. And I think the other thing is doing my own market research, which is just standing in line at a Foot Locker. A lot of people swear by the Metallica box as well. So Ja continues to still hit on its very unique and very independent aesthetic.
Yeah, I mean, the Ja, and I didn't see the JA on the shoe with the swoosh until it was pointed out to me. And once I saw it, it made me like the shoe a lot more. Here's the big difference between what Anthony Edwards is doing and what the Ja line is doing. We're now on the third shoe of Ja, and I really thought the third one was the second one. Like, there's just not a lot of... The first two are very, very similar. This third one breaks the mold in a good way. It looks different than the first two. Again, in a very good way. But I already forgot, like, the one and the two weren't one shoe.
No, they're not memorable. Like, they're very plain Jane, and Ja's personality and play style really seems like the three is really his real introduction into sneakers, I feel like.
Well, I see the Ja 2, the 1 and 2, at these kids' basketball camps a lot because he's still popular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And just, they look flat. They look plasticky. The decision to make the Ja 3 had that, like, pyramid-looking design. Like, the texture going throughout the
feel
entire
like the tear through it. Like,
it was much needed and a very good move.
I agree.
But the Anthony Edwards, I think the 1 and the 2, as we'll talk about, but what the 1 does so well is just the structure is so good already. Like, the nuts and bolts look so good. It doesn't need a colorway to tweak it. The colorways are enhancing it. The Jaws don't look so great off the jump, and the colorways have to make the shoe look better. So it's like the AE stuff has to step up just from a flat line looking like a better shoe. And then the colorways then enhancing them.
For sure.
So I think my slight pushback to that is I don't know if the Ja 2 got a proper chance, just because the best ability is availability, and Ja has been, let's say, sporadic with his attendance.
Yeah. Agreed.
But I do agree with your point that there is a homogeneity, if you will, of the Ja 1 and the Ja 2. So that's what gave me positive aspirations for the Ja 3, because it looked unlike anything else we've seen from a Nike basketball perspective. And I thought that was a step in the right direction. It is going to be a colorway dependent shoe, which I don't mean as a disparagement, but at the same time, that is a characteristic of that shoe. So we have to be able to make peace with that as buyers. But like Robbie said, it doesn't matter what crotchety old men like the three of us think. If the kids love it, that's going to continue to breathe new life into the shoe. I mean, dare I say it's the LaMelo effect, where this could almost be their version of the NBA 5. So,
the perfect thing. Just he was hurt, and that does – you don't see the shoe, you don't feel the same way about the shoe. I believe it was the Penny 1 or 3. Sneaker historians are going to hate me, but Nike rushed Penny back into the All-Star game so he could wear that shoe and have it on foot. I believe it was the Penny 3, and then that wasn't a very good idea, but they got to see that shoe in the All-Star game, and it had much more of a presence than, like, the Penny 4 or other shoes. Like, yeah, you have to see it. So availability does mean a lot.
Well, I know we talk about kids, right? And I actually saw a kid yesterday, like, couldn't be any more than like maybe 10, 11 years old wearing that, I guess, that first color that came out of the Ja 3, the gray that had hit like the A spray painted, so he actually says Ja. But I tell you this, that on a kid's shoe looked awesome. I think the kid, like, I don't know if it's just a smaller size in it, just made it look dope. I personally wouldn't wear the one to spray paint an A on it because I don't want his whole name sprayed on my shoe. But I think if they're aiming to the younger market, it just, I think for a little kid, like, that looked cool for that particular colorway. But like I said, it's really colorway dependent on what you're going to get from it. Is it going to be more geared toward the younger folks or something like the pink colorway that is not as in your face with his name on it? You can still see where it traces out. I feel like it's going to really depend on who is, like, what color is going to go to what age demographic, I should say.
So I actually bought the pair of pink. I had to kind of take it back because, Mike, the jaw portion of it does not stand out, but everything else does. And We are very much in our Taylor Swift parlance pink era. A lot of sneakers nowadays have a pink colorway, and it's various degrees of hot pink or tickle me pink, as Eclipse lyric famously once said. I just have a feeling that if there's ever a shoe that's been tailor-made for the inevitable what the colorway, it's this one. And I think that one is going to go really ham. But it has to make sense, because I think part of what made the AE1 so relevant was the fact that not only did it have the fire design, not only did it have a very poignant and relevant campaign, Anthony Edwards was doing crazy things in it. And that has to be amplified. So it may be the best shoe in the world, but if you can't get your actual muse to play in it, that's where I think it's a problematic thing for Nike.
Agreed.
The AE2 looks better than the Jaw 3, but the Jaw 3 is making it a legitimate competition instead of a blowout.
Oh, yeah. It's not a slouch by any means. 100%. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
But so the AE1 has been on foot now for about two seasons, a season and a half.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to stop. There's that clock colorway. I don't think they're just going to pull the carpet out from underneath that shoe and stop. But
they're saying Anthony
Edwards leaving. I believe he and the Timberwolves lost against the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. I could be wrong, but I think it was the Nuggets. They lost in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
They beat the Lakers.
Semifinals. The Western Conference semifinals.
They lost in the Nuggets. Yeah, I'm trying to remember too.
But anywho, he now has an opportunity. They're doing the China press release. Trying to press tour with him out there. That shoe is priming up and revving up for when end of October comes. He's going to be pissed off about losing last year in the playoffs. There's going to be great colorways, a brand new shoe. He's probably going to be doing some really cool stuff to start the year and throughout the year in that shoe. So it's really poised to have an exceptional second release.
And I was going to say this, speaking of Minnesota Timberwolves player editions, did you guys see the Rob Dillingham Zoom cut? That is probably another pink sneaker, but I really like the illustration on the tongue of the shifting of gears, because I believe he's a very shifty individual on the court. I don't know anything about the man off the court. I'm sure he's a sweetheart off of it. But that's where I like seeing the stories again, and I like the fact that even a buried second player in the Timberwolves rotation can get a pretty inspiring sneaker like that. So let's keep this going, because I think we're definitely in the midst of a sea change as this younger generation is firmly entrenching its roots, taking the game to a new direction, and it can only benefit. And if the style right now is for more vibrant sneakers, why not?
Yeah.
And why is the GT cut so ribbed for her pleasure?
It is a unisex colorway, so that's something maybe we ask Nike Basketball about. Like, do we get the Trojan colorway, like in that, or maybe a healthy Magnum?
It is very, very ribbed. And I mean, Jordan Poole colorways make sense. Why Rob Dilly has one is interesting, but good for him. I'm not going to hate on it. The Jordan Poole stuff is better. Free Jordan Poole colorways. I'm gonna say that.
With the Wizards, or where is he?
I think he got traded somewhere.
I thought he also was on the move, which is a damning indictment of
Jordan Poole. I swear he got traded. Let's see, where is he going?
Ah, the Pelicans.
The Pelicans.
But yeah, I'm not being funny. Jordan Poole colorways have been super freaking cool.
Is he the one with the cookie one coming out, or who's that?
I thought that was Sabrina.
I don't think they're doing them anymore. I think it was like
there's a GT cut coming out with somebody as a chocolate chip cookie. Looks like I can't remember who it was though. It was so random.
I thought Sabrina had also a cookie inspired colorway coming out. As a diabetic, I don't know what to make of it though. So shout out to all my type ones and my type twos.
There's got it. So if they did the Haribo Dawn issue 6 last year, and Anthony Edwards is a notorious junk food eater.
So it's Jordan Poole. It's coming out this holiday season, apparently. GT Cut 3 Milk and Cookies PE. See, looks like a giraffe.
Free Jordan Poole colorways.
Three?
I guess him now not playing for the Wizards anymore. He's been freed.
He's gone to the Western Conference equivalent of the Wizards in the Pelicans.
I don't know, man. Him and Zion might play like 14 games together. You never know.
Yeah, Zion, I'm over under 10. Like, I'm like.
But that's the interesting thing. I mean, I don't want to make this the Zion episode.
Bashing session. But, yep.
Is there another shoe coming out? I'm not just trying to be funny.
For Zion?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Neither have I. It's like rhetorical, not rhetorical question. It's like, I don't think there is an. I don't think they're. I think they're doing the Blake Griffin thing. They're just like, eh.
Use some PEs in color day.
I was going to say, you never saw the Zion colorway. They're going to deep fake a Luka logo on there pretty soon.
And I don't want to, like, just kick the horse balls down, but I tried to sell. I have, like, a dead stock pair of Zion ones I found in my closet. And I tried to list them for, like, $60, and I could not find a buyer.
They're like, nah, you're good.
So I just took them off eBay. I'm like, I'll keep them. But yeah, I couldn't even find a buyer for 60. Brand new. And no one wants to play. Like, make me an offer. It was like 60 your best offer. I'm not even getting offers.
Maybe
like,
somebody wants to pay you in Krispy Kreme donuts. Who's
so I was like, I hate to even kick more weather down, but it's like I can get a meal that's, you know, that Zion would appreciate more for $60 than the shoe.
And I might, but like I'll have super cooked ons where I've ran like 100 plus miles in them, and I'll sell those for like $45.
You, that is a steal, because those are game worn Robbies, man.
They are.
You gotta sign them when he signs, when he sells them.
GWR, man, game worn Robbie.
But
yeah, so the AE2, like there's, we've seen like a kind of a peach, a Georgia peach, you know, him being from Georgia makes sense. An AE2 Georgia peach looking colorway. There's like a blue looking one. I was really feeling that. There's a lime burst, like a Timberwolves secondary lime colorway. That, I don't know what the launch colorway is going to be, probably that peach one.
It's the peach and pink and black color. Yeah, the peach and pink
one. That's the Georgia first peach, one pink, that makes sense.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
But that lime one, man, you could do lime green, you could do the hot pink row I was talking about. You could do any colorway. That design lends itself to like a traced out or like a highlighted, you know, black blank color scheme so well. Like this, if you're not seeing it, Google the AE2 lime burst, and it is, I can see any color working in that same scheme. You could do like the whole team bank thing and just run back every team colorway you could think of.
And I think that was also part of the appeal of the AE1, because correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, what we're normally expecting to see with the AE1, as we see a nice hot pink pair there anyway, what we see with the AE1 is we didn't necessarily get a team bang colorway. We didn't even see like player editions or team editions, right? Because I look at it from the perspective of Adidas basketball. They've got some heavyweights, some blue bloods, like they have Kansas. And you would think that in the past, we would see at least the elite level programs of Adidas get their own AE1s. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we even got that. So
Kansas got one. Either. Kansas got a pair, but that's the only ones I know of.
But they don't drop, like.
No, they didn't drop. But you just saw Kansas had a pair for their team.
See, and even like I was about to say Jalen Williams, but he wears Hardens. But like I can't think of anybody wearing a. And maybe that's the same type, like, you know, he's my direct competition. I don't want to wear his shoe.
I don't see anybody wearing his shoe. Honestly, I've been trying to think back. I see people wearing Hardens, Donovan Mitchell's, but. People are just like, no, he's too good. I don't know where his shoe.
Yeah, but again, that might be it. People are like, he pisses me off. He beats me every time. I don't want to wear a shoe.
Maybe it's also the fact that they're being very protective of a brand, like the whole less is more. So good. What's now commonplace, like Robbie mentioned, you have one of the J-dubs on the OKC Thunder repping the Harden shoe. Like, I believe he got his own colorway debuting and made available to everybody during the finals run, which is impressive in its own right. But yes, he is polarizing. But I would swear that in the grand scheme of things, James Harden would be equally as polarizing for basketball and non-basketball reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it also might be just wanting that flagship player to own. That doesn't make sense to have their flagship player only wear his shoe, be the only player wearing his shoe. But it could be a form thing. There's probably many factors, but it is interesting how you don't see a lot of AEs on other players.
Now I'm gonna pay attention to that this season, because now I'm curious. Too.
But like personally, I loved the Dawn issue 6, the Dawn issue 7 with a zip.
Love that.
Looks really good too. And it really could just be like an elite level feel preference.
So apparently we do have one, like the most prominent AE1 PE was actually a WNBA. It's one that we've seen recently. It's this white and purple one. It looks amazing. Erica Wheeler is wearing it. It's super. Like this might be one of the top colors.
Like there's no NBA players wearing that shoe. It's
yeah, there's literally only other person I've seen has been this one PE, and then I've been in the NBA. It's WNBA, which is crazy. So I'm really curious to what's the rhyme and reason for that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we are living in the golden era where, like we were joking about earlier, unisex footwear is the wave, because if the Kobe's not the most popular shoe in the league, and I'm talking about the NBA, it's definitely the Sabrina. Like we've all read those countless articles about it. So kudos for AE to make sure that he's kind of getting on the other side of the equation. That being said, do you guys see that this silhouette could also have a low model, because that feels like this AE2 is kind of low-key low?
It is definitely lower than the one, looking at pictures and when he was wearing it. And so that's, I do like that they chopped it a little bit, kind of gives you a three-quarter as opposed to a full high top like the one seemed to be.
I definitely sure think they're gonna do a low top
for sure. There will
that collar, you could chop that collar and tongue down easily on the AE2. And that's my biggest, on first looks, I prefer the AE1 high over the low. But when I wear the AE1 high, I don't have a pair of the lows. I only have a pair of the highs. Like, the collar is awkward. It works better as a low than it does a high top.
I like the lows better as well.
I kind of feel like I like the highs more. Now, granted, I only have two pair, and the two that I have are the aforementioned launch pairs, the orange and then that Timberwolf blue that I think they were calling the New Wave, which I thought was the inspiration for one of the two colorways that you guys had mentioned previously.
No, but yeah, it's just, that's interesting. You like it, I don't. Mike doesn't like it either. And it's like, I think that shoe could have easily released as a low top first. I never see a shoe come out as a high top second. This thematically, it's always high top than low. But it works in both. It's like not like a Jordan 11 low where you have to have like really hard stance on if you like it or not.
Yeah.
Can I ask you sneaker historians a question? Has there ever been a shoe that's been released as a low then kind of got the high treatment? Because all I can think of right now, and granted I'm presently occupied talking to you guys, but I couldn't ever think of a shoe that initially starts out as a low and then you get the repackaging as a high.
I can think of is not, it wasn't the low before the high. They released concurrently, and that's going to be the Kobe 9 Elites. That's the closest thing I could think of. They did the high and the low version. So you got both. So you can really pick your poison there, but there was never, I can't think of one that started.
Basketball shoe, no. Mm-hmm. It was the Nike, it was like a Lunar Foam shoe. Lunar Unlimited or something, and then it released with like a little like collar on it, really close, like form fitting, not like a second sock.
Yeah,
what was that shoe? Oh my god, it's like a Nike Free Unlimited, not like Lunar Unlimited, or you know what I'm talking about? It had like really ugly.
Look it up, though.
While we are lamping, as we kind of go through the AE2 and the Jaw, I think the other thing that's very interesting is they're both similarly priced at that 130 price point. So even if people have made the connection that this is a competition, I think by setting the price at the exact same thing, you're truly making people pick. Because I think at this point, brand loyalty, while long considered dead, I still think sneakerheads, to a lesser extent, try to maintain corporate alliances or transactional alliances, as we call it. But I don't know. Like, do you guys see the AE kind of putting the Jaw line to bed, so to speak? Because I think if we have another...
The Nike Lunar Epic
Flyknit. That's epic, yeah. I just found it.
The Nike Lunar Epic Flyknit.
So to answer Roy's question, I don't think either one is going to cancel the other out. I think it's just going to... I think you're going to see people are... It's just going to be, the fans of each buying, of course. You're going to have both fan bases buying the shoes, which they both have pretty solid fan bases. But I think you're going to see an equal spread across the board of people on court with these. I don't see one like hurting the other. I think, in fact, it's just going to really push both brands to really come with it when it comes to their next set of basketball sneakers.
It's like a Switch and a Switch OLED. They're both
same. Yeah, exactly.
They both occupy the same space. It's just you want to spend a little more. You want something a little more premium. Or do you want, like, the takedown model or the model from last year?
Yeah.
So they can both exist and thrive.
I think so.
Much like us, we can all exist and thrive. So anything else on your guys' mind before we wrap up today?
Only thing I had, you put in a group chat earlier. I've seen people are getting the dreaded cancellation from Undefeated. I mean, we don't have to spend too much time there. Just what do you guys thought on that? People waiting for weeks on end to only get the dreaded cancellation even after doing an EQL.
I got a sneakers alert today saying I could buy the Undefeated 4.
Oh, lucky guy.
But when I clicked on it, I was going to have a moment of weakness in Cave. They had already sold out everything over 7.5. So
the universe saved you.
For me. But no, I'd be pissed as hell if my Undefeated order got canceled from Undefeated.
Especially given what we perceived to be the quantities that they were releasing of this shoe. Like, this was slowly going to move from grail status to, I wouldn't say a general release, but a socially acceptable release where enough people got them that people would still kind of maintain some sort of affinity for the shoe, but then also wouldn't be bit by the scarcity bug. But now it seems like they are going to turn into a grail, a second grail, because possibly, to your point, gentlemen, like, if we're seeing volumes canceled at the rate that they're being canceled, I don't see how anybody would want this shoe again, because it's yet another tease, so to speak, from a brand that, dare I say, has been historic to do this sort of thing. There's a precedence there.
Well, the question is, though, is that with the EQL raffles, they took the money immediately. Like, as soon as you were deemed the winner, they took the money. And they've been holding on to it for weeks now, for about 2-3 weeks. And now people are like, wait, you have the money this whole time, tied up. You know, $270 was total plus, I think, shipping from what I've heard.
Shipping.
And now you're canceling. Yeah. So it's kind of like people feel like kind of like a slap in the face. Of like, well, if you told me I won this and you took my money for all this time, why are we having an issue?
Valid. It's messed up, man. Don't do that to people. People need that money.
It's a lot of money.
Especially nowadays. I don't know about you boys. I don't know if I can count on my $2,000 big, beautiful bill check or whatever the hell we're supposed to get.
Man, eggs cost $300 now. I got to keep my money.
At this point,
meat costs $200. I mean, meat in general costs too much per pound.
And he's not talking about the OnlyFans subscription.
Meat. All right, guys. But on that note, I think we're going to cut off that episode before we go on the meat rabbit hole, down the meat rabbit hole.
Can't go down that rabbit hole.
Although I will say this,
if I can.
So I recently was bit by the Robbie bug. I probably bought the most Robbie-coated apparel I ever bought, which was apparently Arby's made a Pusha T long sleeve. And so, Robbie, if it does not fit me, it's coming to you.
Wait. They made what?
And it's still available for sizes small and medium because it is Arby's. And I don't think anything that would last bigger than a large would stay in that store.
Arby's is pushing that meat, pushing that white.
Well, I mean, apparently we got the meat was a Pusha T line that they leveraged. So Pusha T is essentially got two fast food jingles under his belt when most of us can't even get one.
You know what? If they had a size large, I feel like I would need to go buy this, but I'm speechless. This is amazing. Like, that is something that deserves to be in any collection. Like, Pusha
T.
Bruh. And okay. I believe please end on that note. That I was going to say.
Too much fun time to have.
Another 30 minutes easy on that.
That's what the Patreon's for. And if you haven't, listener, please Discord, like, rate, review, subscribe, do all the things you're supposed to do.
Like, just, I mean, come on.
Yes,
tell us you like us, tell us you hate us. Just take some words.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for your time. Listeners, thank you for your time, for being a part of this episode. Are you going to buy an AE2, a Jaw 3,
a Pusha T long sleeve?
Who's to say? 4. CB4, I don't know. Anyway, so peace, guys. Have a good day.
See ya. Awesomeness. Oof. All right, homie.
All right, thanks as always, Mike. And yeah, once dude, again, thank you for taking the lead on that editing. The episode sounded good. Knock on wood, the last two reels that you've tagged me in, like, I've been getting so much good feedback. And like, I've had people reach out to me here at Nike and be like, hey, like, this is really good. So I was like, okay, well, yeah, listen. Don't tell Uncle Phil that I'm doing this.
Like, it's a secret, but I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, I'll let you later, buddy.
See you, man. Bye. See
ya. Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.